Call the meeting to order. This is the Monday, January 9th, 2023 Municipal Utilities Commission meeting. We have Pledge of Allegiance. Start.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next order of business would be the annual election of the MUC officers for 2023. I guess we have elect for the position of president, vice president, secretary, and treasurer. So for the position of president of the commission, anybody want to offer a motion to nominate one of the commissioners to serve as president? So,
I'll nominate Commissioner DeBleek for president.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second that Commissioner DeBleek be elected president of the commission for the next next year. Everybody in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Okay, for the position of vice president for the commission, we want to offer a motion to a for a commissioner to serve as vice president.
I nominate Sean Muskey.
I'll second.
There's been a motion and a second to nominate Commissioner Muskey for vice president. Is there any other nominations? If not, motion, all those in favor of Mr. Muskey as vice president, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. We have nominations for the position of secretary. Anyone want to offer a nomination for a commissioner to serve as secretary?
I nominate Mr. Bunker.
There is a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any other nominations for the commissioner secretary? If not, all those in favor of Commissioner Baumgard as secretary, say aye.
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 Now we have position of treasurer. Is there a nomination for treasurer?
I'll nominate Commissioner Kennedy for treasurer.
Second.
Okay. We have nomination. Is there a second? Any other nominations for the position of treasurer? If not, you willing to serve?
Yeah.
Okay. All those in favor of the motion, signify saying aye.
Aye.
Yes, that was cool.
A foregone. All right. Let's say, it's a pleasure to, you're all willing to step up and serve one of the offices, so.
Keeping it in the family, right?
Mm-hmm. Now we have, at this time, inform the commission that the next order of business would be to make appointments to both the labor and planning committees. Commission President continued by expressing appreciation to the commissioners for their input and willingness to serve as members of the WMU labor and planning committees. Request if there's any changes that anyone wants to make on committees would be, right now the labor committee is Mr. Baumgard and Commissioner Kennedy, with one of those seats vacant this time. Planning committee would be Commissioner Muskie and Commissioner Lamar, with one vacancy on that committee at this time. So if there are no objections or questions.
I'm just curious about the new appointments. When do we anticipate those happening?
They're on the council agenda for tonight. In the past, and maybe Councilor O'Brien can fill us in here a little bit, but in the past, it's always been a two-meeting consideration for appointments, but they're set up on the agenda tonight to be appointed. So has that changed?
Not that I know of.
Okay, but they are set up on the agenda for appointments, so we could have two new ones tonight, potentially. Otherwise, if they follow past practice, the appointments will take place next week at their next council meeting.
My only concern would be, would we find this with that calendar, is making sure we have new folks on the committees when they start meeting, but we are anticipating a meeting next week, so.
If appointments take place within the next week, we will be fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, with those committee appointments, is there a motion to accept that, those appointments?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion would carry. Okay. Now we have item three, changes or additions to the agenda. Any changes or additions on the agenda? Move on to consent agenda. We have the minutes of the December 21st meeting and review and approve payments of the bills and wire transfers in the amount of $3,796,934.84.
Move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay. Questions on the bills or anything on the consent agenda?
I have just a couple of questions.
Go ahead.
Just a couple of questions. There's more kind of for my information. I'm just going to have to get down to the page that I got those on. Page 12. And it has to be, it's under cap, it would be a capital one because it's in yellow. And that's, I see it's professional services is what's for the abatement. That is working out. Have we heard, I mean, has that been done? Yes, you even got paid, I suppose.
Sure. Hi, Commissioner Lamar. You're absolutely correct. It's in yellow, therefore it's part of the capital project. Brian Intertech is our consulting firm for that project, and we get monthly invoices from them, basically.
Oh, okay. guess I didn't pay attention to that before. Then the other one is Tyler on page 15, about halfway down, Tyler Technologies. And that's fees per year. What is that?
Commissioner Lamar, Tyler Technology is our new software vendor.
Oh.
That is our annual payment fee.
Oh, shoot.
Or SaaS setup.
Thank you. Tyler, I remember that too. Okay, that's all the questions that I had of that. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any other questions on the bills?
I had a question on page 5. It was a true, there was under the City of Wilmer, there's a true up from the August error. It's for $226,000.
Thank you, Commissioner Baumgart. Could you want to take that one, John or Andrea? Yeah, provide the details, please.
Yep. So when we calculate that payment to the city, there's multiple reports and multiple pieces that go into it. So that was just a calculation from a report that we redid. So it's just a correction from when we did the August payment.
Good. Thank you.
Yep.
Any other questions on the bills? If not, it'll be a roll call.
Certainly. Commissioner DeBleek?
Aye.
Baumer?
Aye.
Baumgart?
Aye.
Muskie?
Aye.
Kennedy?
Aye.
Yep.
Item number 5, I think we already took care of earlier. Item 6, financial requirements and designate U.S. Bank Heritage and Heritage Bank as official depositories. Get that one, Andrea?
That's exactly right. Yeah. So every year we do this and we designate those official depositories, and ours are U.S. Bank and Heritage Bank, and that is something the auditors watch and that we do every year. So similar to last year and every year before that.
I'll move to approve the bank designations.
I'll second.
Any questions on concerns with bank designators? Okay. If not, that is a motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Okay. And you have item 7, the financial reports.
Yeah, so the financial reports are for November of 22. And starting with electric, the residential and commercial industrial revenues are down about $504,000 from the prior year. Our expenses are up about $205,000, which leaves the retained earnings down about $695,000 from the prior year. When we look at water and we factor in that 5% rate increase for last year, those revenues are down about $157,000 from where we'd expect them to be compared to the prior year. Expenses are up about $111,000. Retained earnings down about $56,000. When we look at the two divisions combined, the overall retained earnings down about $807,000 from the prior year. And on the next report is our graphs that we can see the comparisons to prior year. And then with the investment portfolio, again for November, that month-end value was $44,058,111, and there was nothing significant for that month to report. And the last report for the cost of power in November, that was just over 6 cents. There's no concerns there. That's all of them.
With the water,
mm-hmm.
Is that down mainly because of usage, or what are the factors going on there?
That's a good question. It's not a lot, so there's anything specific.
It's basically consumption-driven, our consumption both. What's driving both on the electric and revenue side is reduced consumption this year. Basically on our commercial side. Residential is fairly close to target, and commercial, we're lagging a little bit. So it's on the sales.
Okay. Any questions on the financial reports? Thank you, Andrea. Item 8, wind turbine report.
Wind turbine, here I am. So, as you notice, for December, turbine 3 availability 66.4, turbine 4 was 74.3, for total kilowatt output of 444,245 kilowatt hours. Main reason for a little bit decrease in availability was we had some CT and PT faults on the grid, and that issue has been taken care of, and then a little bit of icing from the storm back in right before Christmas. Some of the weather equipment on top of the turbines got iced up and then kind of freezes up, and the turbines won't operate if they don't know what wind speed and direction and those kind of things are, so they'll fault out because of that. So onto the page 2 of the report, you can see the total output for the year. We ended up at 7,723,531. That actually puts us into third place all time since 2009 for the turbines. And I'll have a little bit more information in depth in the year-end report if there are no questions.
Just when you said when they ice up, what do they do about it?
Well, choice A would be wait for a nice sunny day, and it just kind of takes care of itself. The more common choice is to climb the turbines. On the very top of the nacelle of the wind turbine, on the back of that, there's a steel bracket that goes up and across the back of that turbine, and mounted on that are wind emitters. There's two sets on each turbine that calculate wind speed, direction, and temperature, all that weather-related equipment. There's two sets on each turbine, and the turbine will actually use the average of the two, and then in case there's wind gusts and that sort of things. So it basically just gets iced up, slushed up when you have that heavy, wet snow. So they'll go up and chip it off, so or clean it off.
That's right. I'm just wondering on that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Any other questions on the wind turbines? There are no questions.
Okay.
Thank you, Kevin.
So I'll jump into the next item. It's the Facilities and Maintenance Department's 2022 year in review. We'll start on page 2 with the power plant, the activities that have happened there for the year. It's just kind of a recap. So we sent an RFP for professional services for the abatement and demo of this plant back in December of 21, and those bids were opened on February 1st. The contract for professional services was awarded to Braun Intertech. We worked the next few months with Braun and put the project out to bid. The RFP was sent out on July 28th and bids opened on August 25th. That contract was awarded to Rachel Contracting. We sent the notice to proceed on October 21st, and then their subcontractor, Mavo, started the abatement of the plant shortly after that, a few days after that. So the abatement work is still currently underway and on schedule, expected to take 14 to 16 weeks with the demolition to follow shortly after that. They're about halfway through the abatement process. Everything has been going as planned. They started with the tunnels, the heat exchange building, and then moved into the actual power plant. Something to, as a note, if you've all been in the plant, you notice the three giant boilers on would be the northeast side of the plant. We weren't sure how they were going to tackle those, but they ended up putting a tent over all three of them and are cleaning them all three at once, rather than tenting and heating each one. So a giant plastic bubble in there right now. On to the next page, the wind generation. So wind turbine major outages for 2022 included oil cooling fan failures to turbine 3 in January and a breaker failure to turbine 3 in October. And then we have some other smaller issues that come and go, as noted in the last report. And then, of course, we continue having challenges with sourcing replacement parts. It's not that we can't find them, it's just that they're challenging and hard to find because they're unique. We completed our annual maintenance in September and weekly maintenance inspections throughout the year. The guys go up and check the turbines weekly. July, so numbers for the year. The July through 2009 through December 2022 cost of power, so that's taking all the costs associated with the wind turbines from inception until now, that cost of power divided by the output, divided by the cost, we end up with a little over 15 cents per kilowatt hour. And that's down from last year, roughly 16 and a half cents. The calendar year 2022 cost of power, that is taking just our maintenance costs divided by output. Our actual cost of power for 2022 was just a little under 2 cents, 0.0182 per kilowatt hour. And that's down from 2021 also, that was about 2.5 cents. The 2022 production of 7,723,531, I mentioned earlier, making 2022 the third highest production year since 2009. And that record is 8,345. That was set in 2015. A couple other things to note on the wind turbines. When the wind turbines were originally modeled and put up, they modeled the units with a capacity factor of 23.7%, basically meaning that they take into consideration the locations that they were installing the units, the average wind speed direction for our location, and then they factor in times that it's not windy or windy enough to turn the turbines, weather, all that sorts of thing. And they factor that 23.7% of the time the wind turbine should be creating power in Wilmer, Minnesota. That equates to roughly 8.3 million kilowatt hours of production out of those two units. So the 2022 output met 93% of that goal, or a capacity factor of 22%. The 2 years higher than it, 2015 and 2012, were just a little over 100%, so they exceeded expectations for those two particular years. A little bit of note on the cost of the turbine. We update this each year, and this year, being that I got bumped from November, we were able to actually have total year numbers rather than 11-month numbers. Based on an article that was in the Tribune here a month and a half ago, there was a lot of community interest in that article. A lot of conversations were had online and on social media, and the community really is interested in knowing what these numbers are. So I think it's important to be transparent about them. They want to know what the units cost, what they cost to operate, those sorts of things. Now, obviously, we're in year 13 of the turbines, and those numbers, the longer we can keep the units running, the more those numbers will drive down. So any other questions on the wind turbines while we're on that page? Okay. We'll go to page four, the diesel generation. We contract with Ziegler to do our annual maintenance on the units. They completed that service back in March. And then they were on site in November. They found, during the annual maintenance service, they found some fan bearings on unit six that were failing. Took a while to get those parts, so they came out in November and took care of that. Excuse me. WMU staff completes monthly maintenance checks and runs on the units, and then we do a quarterly urge test as dispatched by MRES. So they'll test the units, they'll run fall out for an hour, and they'll double check their output and make sure that they're doing as they're contracted to do. And then we're reimbursed for those quarterly runs. And then we were dispatched to run by MISO and MRES once during 2022. That was during the winter storm on December 23rd. Other facilities, activities for the year, we completed a new Priam grazing lease with a new tenant. Lots of work with FEMA this year. We had storm damage from back in May. We submitted claims for storm damage reimbursement for those storm damages that ended up totaling a little over $16,000. And then we applied for a building resilience and infrastructure in communities. They commonly refer that to as a BRIC grant. And what that does is, the BRIC grant is designed to, it has dollars available to take infrastructure that is susceptible to storm damage, failures, those sorts of things, and fix it. So we looked at our system and thought about putting some of our overhead feeder lines that are susceptible to tree damage, squirrels, that sort of thing, and putting it underground. So we followed, we've been working on this for most of the year, did a notice of intent, and then the next step was the benefit cost assessment. So we filled out the benefit cost assessment, and we were not successful in meeting their minimum guidelines. So by quite a bit, actually. So we will not be moving forward with that BRIC grant any further. And then the mutual aid to Florida actually gets billed through the FEMA system as well. So staff compiled an invoice for mutual aid to Florida.
Kevin, is there anything we can do to change that scoring thing, the BCA score?
Yes. We could either have a lot more outages or have the cost to put the feeder cables underground be about a fifth of what they were.
Okay.
Neither one of those. One of them we don't want, and the other one we don't have any control over.
With that said, Kevin, if I can interject here just a little bit too, Commissioner Muskie, that's an excellent question. It's actually frustrating. All the communities have basically, you know, allow their system to deteriorate, as Kevin noted too, you know, that leads to high outages, then you qualify. You do a good job with running your system, and saying on top of it, you don't qualify for those grants. Now, at the end of the day, are we better off? Probably, but it's so frustrating that, you know, it's structured as such that if you're doing a good job, you don't qualify.
Is there a feedback mechanism that FEMA will let you share that information?
Other than working with this particular grant is handled through the state, actually, and they were actually really good to work with, and they kind of share our frustrations as well. So I had numerous phone calls with them and working on them with this benefit cost assessment, and super group to work with. But yeah, we shared our thoughts on that. So other items we did is we set up emergency alert system with Canary County. So in the event that we need to get a message out to the county for one reason or another, we set that system up with emergency management. And if you were home during the storms on the 23rd, you probably got one on your cell phone. So that's exactly what we're able to do with that system. Request to reduce consumption, actually reduce consumption about a megawatt of power, and helped re- reduce the chance of potential rolling blackouts during that particular incident. And then, I'm sorry.
Do you know what the initial cause was for that, or like just more electric heat, or?
I don't know. Maybe John want to chip in there.
Yeah, Commissioner Kennedy, excellent question. We don't have factual data yet, but the initial request that evening when it came in, it was due to wind turbines going offline in the SPP zone. So they called on MISO to help feed into the SPP zone. So that's what prompted the reduction in energy and starting of all available generators to make sure we keep the lights on. So, but there's still going to be more information coming on that, I believe. There usually is. It just takes time. But that was the initial plea that came, or the initial statement that came with the initial request.
Okay.
So.
Thanks.
Okay. And then finally on facilities, we completed a few years ago, we had Department of Homeland Security came out and did a took a look at our system for security issues and items of note, those sorts of things. We've been working on this for a few years now. We finally were able to finish up the security upgrades that were on that to-do list from the DHS visit. I think it was in 2017 or 18, somewhere in there. So those upgrades were finally wrapped up. And then the last page, I'm sorry, somebody have a question? No? Capital improvement projects for the year. The downtown street lighting, all of those materials were finally delivered and in place in July. And then the line crews began replacements on the downtown street lights, and they're approximately 70% complete with that project. So they're actually doing some this week. Some of the bases that the city came and poured new concrete, they're going to be setting those poles this week, and then they'll be about 70% completed after that's done, and they'll wrap up the rest in spring. The building project and rental property sale. The building was put on hold for most of 2022, and we're actually currently in process of negotiating land purchase on identified parcels. And then we're in process of selling the Litchfield Avenue rental property, and they're currently completing the appraisal on that property. Should have that back soon. Capital equipment purchases for the year. I've been kind of quiet, but we did work with the line department to spec and order the new bucket truck, and delivery is expected first quarter of 2023. We're hoping sometime in February or early March we'll have the new bucket truck here. And that concludes my report. Happily stand for questions if you have.
Just a question on when the new bucket truck comes, is it going to fit in the old garage?
It is. Yes. That continues, and that's a good question. That continues to be a challenge for some of the commissioners that are a little bit newer. Our building is limited to, I think it's a 12-foot door, overhead door. And a lot of bucket trucks are taller than that. So we have to spec a truck from Altec, which is a very fine company. It's a great overhead truck company. But we have to go through quite a bit during that speccing. The process of building and designing a new truck, most of them come over 12 feet. So they have to change cab heights and frames and sometimes even changing wheels and tires to get that thing to fit inside that door. So that's one of the challenges that we have with our current facilities that will be eliminated with a new facility. We'll be able to kind of get out there on the open market a little bit better and making sure we're doing the best with ratepayers' money. So.
Thank you.
Any other questions on? I have one question for John. With those diesel generators, when we ran those on the 23rd, that was completely, you know, recovered our cost from Missouri River and.
That would be correct, Commissioner DeBleek. When we get called on to run, there's a formula that we get reimbursed for running plus 100% of our fuel costs. So, and the hourly fees, they were up there I think they topped out at probably about $900 a megawatt that evening. So, they were up there.
You do have a cost per kilowatt coming off in those generators? Can you calculate what that is?
I don't know what that is, Commissioner DeBleek, off the top of my head. Kevin might know. What's our fuel cost per kWh produced?
I'd have to look that up, too.
Yeah.
I think it's on that sheet, but I...
It is on that sheet. I don't know.
It's sad to say I fill out the information and submit it, but don't dwell on it.
It's in the hundreds for an hour run. It's in the hundreds of gallons per kilowatt produced.
Yeah. I think I want to say the bill, and I don't know if either of you remember, a couple thousand dollars.
Just for the fuel?
For the fuel and the energy adder that we, to help offset.
We don't get paid big money for running in relation to what the MISO market is because we're under contract. But in addition to that, we collect about $460,000 a year, even if they don't run. Mm-hmm. That's our standby fee that we get paid just to have them. And then when we run and by contract, then we get our fuel reimbursed, plus, as Kevin alluded to, the energy adder in there.
Yeah, I think this particular run for an hour, it was a couple hundred bucks, $240, $230, $240.
Mm-hmm. That's it. So, it has to be a substantial cost per kilowatt unit off of them.
Yeah. Our biggest cost to run is the fuel by far. Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions?
I have one question.
Yes.
When you put that word out that you needed to reduce the power, and you said you did get a response, do you have a number of how much of a response you have?
Just as far as, we don't have a number as far as who actually reduced their power. I mean, I can tell you my neighbors did not go out and shut off their Christmas lights. My house was dark and I was trying to lead by example, but overall we were able to look at the demand output on the system, and it was just about 1 megawatt that went down for the hour.
We were very pleased with the results. I mean, we looked at our SCADA and the request went out and it just went and then just level up. Yeah, we dropped the bottle full mag, so a huge thank you out to the community for responding like they did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was impressive when we looked at the data the next morning.
That was that was the first time we used that system to do that, so once again, it was on local news and things on social media, you know, put it out there, and there was a lot of questions from the community. They really didn't, you know, it was the first time, so they were a little bit, didn't know what it was. I would anticipate now that, you know, hopefully we don't have to use it a whole lot, but I hope that as it gets more common that they understand what we're asking of them, that we'll see more of a reduction. So,
I think you saw some of social media where people misunderstood. They still, I think most people think that it's all Wilmer's generation and Wilmer's default, but that the grid is much larger than that, and it's
correct.
Nothing that we were doing here locally that was causing that change. But I think I had explained to a few people that are still under the assumption that we generate all this power and somehow we don't have enough power to reach our customers, and I try to explain that is definitely not it. So that message has to go out as often as we can send it out there.
Just to let you know, I did turn
out.
Thank
you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no, Commissioner Moss, you're absolutely correct. The transmission system is so integrated. It's not like we're isolated here. And that request had nothing to do with our needs in Wilmer in isolation. It had to do with the grid as a whole and SPP, as I noted earlier. It was in the SPP footprint that they were short of power, and they were calling on those in the MISO footprint to help aid in providing enough generation. So between what we generated, roughly speaking, 12 megawatts, all six of our units ran, they're 2 megawatts each, plus a megawatt that we reduced consumption, we added roughly 13 megawatts of power to the grid when it was called upon. And that was just us. Everybody else throughout the footprint did as well. GRE activated their load control. XL Energy activated their load controls. You know, those are all up here in Minnesota. So it was not just us. It's everybody else, all the other utilities, both the IOUs, such as the XL Energies, as well as the co-ops, as well as munis, all did what they could to make sure we didn't have to go into rolling blackouts, because that would have been the next step, would have been rolling blackouts, so, and we didn't get close to that. So.
Okay. Well, the electric car stayed home that day.
Thank you for the report. Thank you. Item 10, General Manager Hearn, do you have a report?
All right, thank you, Commissioner DeBlake. First item on there is the appointment process. We spoke of that earlier. I don't know if there's additional questions, but we should see the appointments hopefully tonight, so next meeting we should have full commission again. So we received a letter of appreciation from the City of Bartow, that as Kevin alluded to in his presentation, that we were down, had he filled out FEMA grants for assistance down in Florida. So we haven't seen the check yet, but that's on the way, they tell us. So it was a worthy event, and they appreciated the help. Holiday gift listing was in your packet. By policy, you know, staff's not allowed to accept gifts with the exception of the Christmas season, and then we need to, by our policy, bring that list forward to the commission so that the commission is aware of who we received gifts from and what they were and the value of them. And I talked about meetings, and we do not have any meetings scheduled for the Planning Committee or the Labor Committee right now, but in Kevin's presentation, you heard him talk about us moving forward with the sale of our property as well as possibly purchasing, and hopefully we'll be back to full commission, but once we receive or have an offer together, and I envision it will be on the sale of our property here before the purchase of our land, but as soon as we have an offer put together, we'll be bringing that forward to the commission for consideration. So, and as Kevin alluded to, I think they're wrapping up the appraisal on it here shortly. We should see that. We had a couple questions last week yet on it, but we should be seeing the appraisal. Once we have the appraisal, then we'll be sitting down and visiting with the tenants that express an interest in purchasing. So, and we got a couple conferences coming up. They're listed there. I don't think I need to restate them. So with that said, any additional questions for myself? Otherwise, that would conclude my update. Okay, thank you.
The MMUA conference coming up December or January 24-25. Get your request in ASP if you want to attend that.
It's the day after our next commission meeting. Commission meeting's on the 23rd. So it'll be the day after.
And we do have some meetings set up with our legislative people that are in the process of getting that.
Yes, they're in the process right now. Yeah. We've notified them and we're waiting to hear back from them.
Okay.
Looks like our meeting's tentatively set up with Baker something between 3 and 4:30 on the 24th. And we're waiting for Lang to see if we can have a joint meeting or if there'll be separate meetings. So
okay.
More details to come on our meetings.
Okay. Any other items that come before the commission at this time? If not, motion to adjourn.
So moved.
We are adjourned.